Hello and welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this Metrosite. I'm Beth Schultz, Vice President of Research and Principal Analyst at Metrogy, and with me here is Robin Garris. Robin is Metrogy's CEO and Principal Analyst. Today we're going to be talking about her latest research study entitled Customer Insights and Analytics. Robin, start us off by telling us about a little bit about this study.
Happy to, and hello everybody, hello Beth. This is a really fun and interesting study. I'm really kind of excited about it. So this research study looks at how companies are gathering input, insight, feedback from their customers, what tools they're using, what techniques, and what frequency, what success they're seeing, how they're taking that information, how they're analyzing it, and improving their business metrics as a result of having that information. And there's a lot of really good value we're seeing on customer insights and analytics, as well as taking those customer insights and moving them into the agent side of things or the employee side of things. So a lot of good information in the study. I'll give you, some summary of it in this Metrosite today. So we had 579 organizations participate in this research from 10 countries. Average number of employees was just under 19,000, and the average annual revenue of the companies was $2.6 billion. We did this research from December of 2022 through January 2023, so it's very new. And we have all sizes and shapes of companies in there. We spoke to IT, CX, and business leaders for this study, did both surveys and interviews. I can tell you that, some of the key coverage areas that we had, we looked at customer interaction channels. So how are companies communicating with their customers, and then how are they getting feedback with what frequency? Like I already mentioned, what tools and methods are they using? How are they using AI and AI analytics, automation to, either gather or analyze that data? What types of feedback are they getting? Is it quantitative? Is it qualitative? To what extent is it both? And what kind of actions are they taking is a big one. And how are they integrating this feedback to other departments, and how are those departments using it? And then we really did look at what value they derive from customer insights and what business success metrics they saw, both in terms of just regular customer ratings, employee efficiency, operational costs, but also really drilling down into some sales metrics as well. We asked some questions in the study about contact center details, and we also looked at how companies are using what they're spending on virtual assistants, the adoption, the utilization there. So there's a lot in this study. I know we're not going to cover it all here in our Metrosite, but I can certainly answer any questions that you have, Beth.
You said it, Robin. There is a lot in this study. One of the things you mentioned was interaction channels. So what's happening with adoption of customer interaction channels? And did anything surprise you in the findings?
I think there were a few surprises. I would say, I don't know if this is a surprise. It's not a surprise to me, but to some people it might be like voice is still king. So 73% of all interactions are using voice either initially or as an escalation from a digital channel. So, we do see companies adding more channels for sure. As we look at how do companies interact and what's the top way they're interacting, it's really direct calls to or from a customer. That's the top way, the most frequent way that we see companies interacting with their customers. But I guess probably one thing that surprised me, driven by this news that you heard about Frontier Airlines reducing or completely eliminating rather voice from their from their portfolio of interaction options. I asked organizations in this study if they ever thought that they would eliminate voice completely, and only 39% said that they would never ever eliminate voice. Which was kind of surprising. I thought that number would be higher. Now there's another chunk, I think it was around 34%. Don't quote me on that. I don't have it off the top of my head, that said maybe at some point we'll eliminate voice. And then there were others who said, yeah, definitely we'll eliminate it. We'll eliminate all of it or some of it. And some already have. It was about 4% already have eliminated voice. So, my own opinion on this is I think there are certain types of companies that are few and far between that might be able to do effective customer interaction without voice, but the vast majority cannot. Now, it's not to say I'm against digital channels. I think they're great. I think you have to give customers an option. But I don't think you can ever say, oh, we never need to talk to a customer again. Well, you might. You don't know what the issue might be that it's just very difficult to, you know, handle over text communications or over social media or something like that. The other thing I thought was interesting on interaction channels is most people said it would be valuable to see the calls that they're missing and have ways to retrieve those and you know, not truly miss a call. And the other thing I think we've seen is that about 34% of companies have seen an increase in call duration. And the number one reason for that is more complex issues.
It's kind of curious. So companies see the value in seeing the missed calls, but they're also willing to get rid of all the calls.
Yeah, some are. But yeah, there is a little bit of a contradiction there.
Yeah.
That would be a good correlation to do, actually. How many people who said they see the value of it also said, yeah, we're going to get rid of it someday.
Anyways, so Robin, how are companies going about getting their customer insights? You know, what are the methods that are most effective as well?
Yeah, and this is the thing. I think when you talk about customer insights, most people just think survey right away. You know, we're going to survey our customers. There are so many ways you can get customer insights. Now, that just so happens that survey, non-AI enabled surveys are, in fact, the number one way that companies do gather their customer feedback. One-to-one conversations is the next one. Then you've got social media. So just gathering the feedback from what your customers are saying about you on social media, where they're hashtagging you. Maybe you're putting polls out there for them to take on social media. The fourth one down, though, is website statistics. So this is a very passive way to gather customer feedback. What are they doing on a website? What are they looking for? Did they engage a virtual assistant? Are they in an FAQ? The next one is actually AI-enabled surveys that are more predictive. So you can take a survey and embed some machine learning, artificial intelligence and machine learning in there, where as survey results come back, if you see questions coming back with a lot of people answering in a way, AI or machine learning can add a follow-up question to drill down into that a little bit more. Doesn't need a human intervention, and you can do it very quickly. So that's something that's another way that we see companies gathering data. Third-party aggregation sites, so that's where you get, you know, your Google ratings, hotels.com, health grades, those types of sites. Live chat, so just gathering feedback just by chatting with somebody. Focus groups is another one. AI analytics is a big one. So just looking at, it's far down the list right now, but it's one that I feel is going to continue to grow. It's where you're looking at things like sentiment analysis or natural language processing. With sentiment, you might be saying, okay, what percentage of our customers appear to be happy, sad, angry, elated, you know, whatever kind of adjectives you want to use there. And then natural language processing, just taking, if it's a voice call, for example, looking at that textual transcription of the voice call and making sense out of it. Okay, what does it mean? What are they saying? What does this tell us? We also see companies using IoT and embedded devices even to get customer feedback and kiosks. So there's all different ways. There's physical kiosk type things or IoT devices. There's passive ways like website statistics. And then, there's interactive ways like surveys or focus groups or things like that. But I can tell you that when we asked what provides the most value, where they get the most valuable information, the number one way they got the most value was on one-to-one conversations, followed by surveys. So it was really more that human interaction that really provided the most valuable information. And we do see companies gathering both quantitative and qualitative information from their customers. About a quarter of companies just gather qualitative, so the 1 to 5 star, 1 to 10 rating. About 28% gather qualitative comments. That's more your open-ended feedback. And about 43% gather both. I mean, I would always recommend gathering both because there's absolute value in getting both those quantitative ratings you can track over time and getting qualitative feedback, which is more like the whys behind the whats. And when you get those whys behind the whats, so especially if you're a company that gets a lot of feedback, one of the issues you might have to keep in mind is that you may not be able to read through all these, you know, and you are probably going to need AI machine learning to analyze those open-ended comments. I mean, 67% of companies basically say that their employees read through them. I don't know how you make heads or tails out of that, unless you just have a few responses coming in a day. But if you have a lot, you need some help there. And we see about 25% of companies right now using AI and machine learning to read through them and to say, okay, here's sort of a summary of what your open-ended comments said, and here's links to a couple examples. You see about 37% using analytics tools that just sort by words used. So it's not quite that artificial intelligence machine learning built in. It's sort of predetermined what words you're going to be looking for. But I guess I'll wrap up by also saying that in far too many companies, actually 40% of companies, agents can select who gets a post-interaction survey. So we're talking about what are good best practices for gathering customer information. You want everybody to get those post-interaction surveys, or just either that preferably, or secondarily random. You don't want the agent to decide, because it's just agents can then self-select who gets a survey with a, you know, hey, I'm only going to send these out to people I have a positive interaction with. So it really doesn't reflect accurately that agent's performance, or doesn't help that agent to get better. It doesn't reflect the overall company performance. So if anyone's doing that, that might be something you really, really want to reconsider.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah.
So, tons of ways that you can gather customer insight, right? And like you said, you can apply AI perhaps to open-ended comments, mm-hmm. et cetera. But you know, that's only as good as what you do with the data, right? Yeah. So what are some of the key ways that you're finding that customers actually act on the feedback that they're getting?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a good point just to bring up. Like, of people who gather all this feedback, only about 61.5% of them are actually acting on it. So if you're going to gather feedback, or if you're going to analyze feedback, what a waste of time and money if you don't act on it. Why bother? You know, you're not going to do anything with it. So you definitely want to take some action on that feedback. And what we found was that about 63% of companies share the feedback. So they're simply taking that feedback and they're sharing it with employees. We see companies actually taking feedback and sharing it with their frontline employees. Those who are, you know, if you're an Uber driver, if you're a Starbucks barista, you know, if you're right in the front line of companies, you're seeing them, you need to get feedback on both your own performance, if you're getting that information, or overall as a company, so you know what to do to continuously improve. So that's a good one. I'm glad that companies are sharing it and letting people know how they're doing. But other just more more firm actions is, we've got a lot of companies who, 42%, who adjust their marketing strategies. Others are specifically asking customers if they would write a review for them. So sharing that positive information, adjusting sales strategies, about 35% are doing that. They are also adding or increasing the use of technology, or reducing or removing the use of technology that aligns with either positive or negative feedback. So they are doing it specifically to say, well, you know, this is great. I guess this virtual assistant we thought would be doing great, but we're getting a lot of complaints on it. Might be time to reevaluate, or vice versa. Wow, self-service is going way better than we thought. Let's try and invest some more money in these FAQs and into our knowledge base. So that's another big thing we see. Asking customers to provide referrals, not only a review, but also referrals. And then just changing the customer interaction channels that are in use is another one that we see. In this research study, we've got all kinds of ways companies are acting on this data. So anyone who's interested, you know, please reach out to us. I can talk much more about this study. But one of the interesting things that I found was that 71% of companies are correlating that customer feedback with the employee or the contact center agent performance. Very, very important. I think you want to, that's a big action you can take, is to be able to tell me as a contact center agent, as an inside salesperson, how am I doing? What are customers saying about my interactions with them? Because that's going to help me to get better always, and to know what I'm doing right and wrong, and, you know, help my KPIs or my sales numbers or whatever it is that I'm measuring.
Absolutely. Okay, Robin, wrapping up, how do programs like these help to improve business metrics, you know, which is something that Metrigy always analyzes in its research?
Well, I think one of the things, like I just said, is that you can use these metrics, use this feedback to improve metrics on your employees. So we see in our research, we found that about 87% of companies recognize their employees based on the customer feedback, always good to get a good recognition. 86% are using the data to coach their employees. So, you know, I'm a supervisor. I've got to coach my contact center agents. This information can help me to know what areas I need to focus on. The next two are big ones. 70% of companies actually promote employees based on the kind of customer feedback that they're getting. So how well am I doing in the contact center or as a salesperson? My customers love me. I might get promoted now to working on bigger accounts or to become a manager or a supervisor. So 70% of companies are doing that. And then on the flip side, 46% of companies are actually terminating employees based on customer feedback. So, you know, you get enough customer complaints, you might not have a job. And that's just helping the company to stay, you know, a little bit more successful. But we do also track the metrics, Beth, like you were mentioning, of course, the business metrics. And when we have customer insight programs at organizations, we have found that they increase revenue by 20%. They decrease operational costs by about 18%. They are improving customer ratings by 20%. And they are increasing employee productivity by about 23%. So this information that you get can really help you just consistently improve. We also gather a bunch of metrics on sales, and all of those were positive. Just the amount that it helps, how quickly can it increase the pace with which opportunities move through the pipeline. You know, how fast can we close a deal? Like, all those numbers turned out really well as well.
Well, Robin, that is a great to kind of talking about success metrics. That's a great place to end on. Thank you for sharing all that. And listeners, I wanted to let you know that if you are interested in hearing more about this customer insights and analytics study, we are currently running a 3-part series on this study. Robin did her first in the series on getting started already earlier in February, and that's available on our Bright Talk channel now. The second episode will take place February 14th, and that's on taking actions on insights. The third episode is proving the value of insights, and that is going to be on March 14th. So go to our Bright Talk channel or Metrigy website and check out those webinars. In terms of other research that we've got going on here at Metrigy, just had our Advanced API and CPaaS development report published. If you tuned in last week to the Metro site, you heard about that CPaaS report there. And we have a workplace collaboration study that our colleague Erwin Lazar just wrapped up and will be publishing shortly. And then coming soon is our CX Metrocast, which is a buyer side market share study. So lots of good stuff coming out this quarter yet. And we're only midway through, or not even midway through, right? A third of the way through. But as always, we're happy to hear from you, and feel free to reach out to us via the contact button on the Metrigy website. And that's all for now. On behalf of the Metrigy team, goodbye till next time, and take care, everybody.
Thank you.